with KCIW, Curry Coast Community Radio. This is Ewing's Doings, A Gardener's World. For our gardening section this week, I am here at Chet's Garden Center in Brookings, talking to the owner, Cliff Bennett. Hello, Cliff, and welcome to KCIW.
Hi, Angela. Thanks for having me.
I understand this is not your first venture into the world of gardening. Can you tell us when you started and why you decided that Brookings was the place for you?
Well, you know, I started landscaping at a small Japanese-owned nursery in Poway, California that helped pay college tuition, and been at it ever since. So I worked there for about 5 years, then went off on my own and been having my own business ever since.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. And in Grants Pass, because the whole weather system is totally different, I mean, this is a marine climate.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have to choose the plants that fit each area, or is it just because people choose what they know is right?
Well, that's a great question, and we do work on zones. And natively, I'm from San Diego, so we're looking at Zone 24, which is somewhat similar to Brookings. But moving to Grants Pass was Zone 7, so much colder in the wintertime, much warmer in the summertime. And so you do have to pick your plants carefully, per that zone so that they would grow properly.
Yes. So if somebody comes into you and says, okay, I'm just starting a garden, what would you recommend that they start with as far as not vegetables but flowers?
Mm-hmm. The easiest way to do that, and we always like, of course, we don't want to tell them what they're going to have. We want their input, of course. They're the ones going to be looking at these all day long. So typically what I'll do with folks that know very little about gardening is I'll walk them through the nursery and I'll tell them, speak up every time you see a plant that catches your attention, either it be foliage color or flowers. Tell me what you like as we're walking through. And then once we've done that, we walk back through again. And then I will talk to them about their exposure and, you know, how much time do they want to spend in the garden? Do you want to spend a lot of time or do you want things that are what we call bulletproof, take very little care? And so then we go from there and it makes the customer, makes that new gardener, you might say, feel as if they have picked out that garden. We're just here to guide them along a little bit and make sure that they put the right plant in the right spot. We don't want to put a 20-foot tree 3 feet from the front door.
Right, right. I find that with most gardening problems, it's what will grow in the shade and what will grow in the sun. I kind of tend to keep things in pots and move them around. Do you think this is sort of a thing in Brookings because we have one day that's 100 degrees and then the next day it's freezing? How do you really protect plants from crunching up? I've got a tree that's really, the leaves are, you could crunch them up.
Yes. We were very much taken back by that Chetco just the other day.
Right, right.
And it was 96 here for 2 days in a row. It was warmer than Grants Pass. So we were, and quite humid though. But when we are helping folks decide on the plants, we always look at the worst scenario. In other words, what are the weather extremes in the area that we're at? And we help choose plants around, is it on the ocean where you're getting the salt wind all the time? So we ask these questions and we always look at the worst weather systems and we try to pick plants that would endure that. And then, you know, when everything's settled down, it's back to normal, that they're very, very happy with that. So we just try to pick plants that will go through the extremes.
Right, right. And I notice this is not just a garden center or a nursery. You have a lot of art.
Oh, yes. And we work with many of the local artists. We've already got 9 local folks that have their we'll say their wares here, but their artwork here. And it's been doing very well. Very well indeed.
Now, as far as advertising, how do you advertise in a place like this when you're new? What do you like to do as far as advertising?
Well, typically we work on, and this is what we've done for years, word of mouth is the most powerful. You know, when you've got a friend telling you that you need to go look at this new store or this new garden center in town, it's very powerful advertising. And what that does to a merchant like myself is you really behave yourself and you make sure that they get the best possible customer service and all the help that they need while they're here, because that word of mouth is quite powerful. But I have tried all medias. We've done television, we've done radio, we've done newspaper, we've done magazines. I mean, you name it, we've tried it. And I think it's the combination of everything that I think really does the job. I haven't been able to pick one that I can say works better than the other.
So far, since you've been in Brookings, how would you say your customer base is? I mean, is it just that it's any day better than another? Are people here really interested in gardening? I mean, Grants Pass, you've got an enormous population to draw from.
Mm-hmm.
Here, your population is much smaller.
Right.
Did you anticipate that when you moved here?
Oh, gosh, yes, Angela. We were looking at doing this years ago, years and years ago. So we've been doing our homework. We've looked at our demographics. We've talked to the garden clubs. We've talked to the master gardeners. And Brookings has a wonderful gardening community. And it's quite large. And I don't know what the percentages would be per. But it's, I'll tell you, for a small little town like Brookings, we are pulling from Bandon down to Crescent City. And we're pulling more from Grants Pass. I think more now than we did when we were there. And so there hasn't been one day we've been open that somebody from Grants Pass hasn't visited. But we did have a lot of loyal customers. But with that, we're hoping that the Brookings community, they've been traveling to Grants Pass, actually, to buy plants. And so we're hoping that we'll save them that two-hour drive, even though it's a beautiful drive. We're hoping to keep them, you know, staying here and spending the money in this local community.
Right.
Because, you know, as they support us, we support them. It's a win-win situation.
So you do get people coming from Grants Pass who know you, and they say, well, I might as well buy my plants
while we're here. Okay. Absolutely. And so, but the Brookings community, we have been overwhelmed with the support so far. Folks have been very kind, and we're so happy we made this decision. The main decision while we're here, we wanted to downsize. And I couldn't do that in Grants Pass. It was just, I had 22 competitors there, and we just couldn't downsize there. We wanted to come to a location as Brookings that there was a place for the type of business that we have. And we'll take on the competitors. That's not a problem. But we like to be homogenous, I think that's the word, that we want to be good neighbors to our competitors. And I think that we are. And you can't be everything to everybody. So we just do what we do. We do what we feel comfortable with. And so far, it seems to be well received.
Usually, when I've looked for garden stuff before you were here,
mm-hmm.
I would go to Fred Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was Rite Aid. I think they had some plants. Now, as far as the plants and the quality of them, is there a difference?
There absolutely is. That was a great question. Because there are growers, what you're looking for is a healthy, full plant when you're purchasing a plant. And there's growers that will grow that plant on as fast as they possibly can. That's done by feeding techniques. And they'll grow that on as fast as they can so they can turn the product over. Then there's nurseries that will cut them back. They feed them. They prune them to get the fullness. Well, that takes a lot longer to do that. So typically, you will find the nicer, fuller plants, they cost a little bit more because there's more labor that's been put into growing that plant. So that's what we focus on. We focus on the plants cost a little bit more, not very much. They cost a little bit more, but because we guarantee our plant material, mainly shrubs and trees, for 1 year, we've got to make sure we're selling quality product. And when I used to ask folks in Grants Pass, who do you consider your go-to garden center is in Brookings? It was Fred Meyer every single time. So Fred Meyer's does a fine job, but you know, it's if only the independents like Chet's can answer those questions, and we carry the product range. So I think that's what we have over it. And again, you know, the chain stores, for the most part, they do fine. But they don't promote the gardening like the independents do.
Right.
Yeah. We're very enthusiastic about what we do.
And if there's a question,
oh,
they can
we've
ask
got the
you.
Answer.
You've got the answer.
Absolutely.
And you've got the Western Garden book if
yes.
you don't.
Yes,
so you
absolutely.
Don't mind looking
but
it up,
we never
do you?
Fall back on the book. We've got the answers.
Of course you have. You've been in it long enough to know that what's going to attack this particular plant, and this is deer-proof, and this one isn't, and And that's another question. How about people in Brookings and the wildlife? Are there specific plants that you would recommend, for instance, where you have deer, like herbs, I suppose, or something like that?
Yes, there are more plants than you think that are deer resistant. We never say proof.
Right.
And I always say, I think it's deer resistant, and or we feel it's deer resistant. So when you're in a, where we came from, Grants Pass, we were there for decades, and we had it down pretty well. You know, what the deer were leaving alone and what they were eating. Well, here it's a bit of a learning curve for us because they're eating some of the things that we felt comfortable with in Grants Pass, but then they're not eating other things. So it's basically talking to the customers, getting the customer's input is the most valuable information we can have. And but it's just kind of a trial and error type thing. And with that good question you just asked, there are repellents now. There have been repellents out for some time, but there are repellents out now that the garden centers such as myself will guarantee to work. So that's how powerful they are. And we're not saying to use the deer repellent for the rest of the plant's life. It's a training aid. And you use it in the deer. Typically, the deer you're getting are the same deer every day that's coming through your garden.
Yes.
And so they get to a point where they won't even look at that plant anymore because they know it tastes bad.
Right.
So it's more of a training aid than anything. So even if you want that plant that deer typically the deer have eaten, there's things you can do about that. So the gardening selections have opened up.
Right.
Yeah, the selection's even better now.
Are there any roses that they don't like?
Now, that that's deer repellent. And because they roses are one of their favorite foods.
Absolutely.
Folks have bought them thinking there's thorns on them. No, that's roses is one of the number one deer food here. Yeah, and we do a lot of roses, so the repellents are what you're going to have to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was a nursery here that closed, and he said he didn't sell roses because he said that the weather's too damp, and they get rot and they get black spot and all the other things. But you do. I saw you have a lovely pot of roses out there.
Absolutely. And you need to do your homework with them when you're selecting which roses you're going to buy. We're aware of this climate. It's damp, powdery mildew, and black spot can be a serious problem for roses. But the new roses today, they've got great resistance towards powdery mildew and black spot. So the fact of not to sell a rose because of the issues, no, it's about selection. And so you have to know the rose that you're selling. And we've got 48 varieties out there right now, and we haven't found a bit of black spot or powdery mildew on a single one.
Wow.
And we're middle, late spring, and it's had time to show itself, and I haven't sprayed at all. Maybe for a few bugs we've sprayed, but not for diseases. So I would say don't be afraid of roses here in Brookings.
And what about fertilizer for roses or other gardens? I mean, there's Miracle-Gro, there's the pellets,
mm-hmm.
and they're systemic.
Mm-hmm.
What do you recommend?
I recommend always slow-release fertilizers. Personally, I don't like the water soluble such as Miracle-Gro's and the like. I don't care for them because they're, edit this if you have to, but it's almost like, it's like drugs for the plant, and it gives them that quick fix. And, but they need more and more and more of it as time goes on and more often. And so it gives that quick burst of energy for the plant, and then that's gone. And so if you don't use it every 2 weeks, the plant isn't getting a good feeding. And so I like a slow release that you use every 3 months or so. So it gives a slow, sustained feeding for that plant. The plant's happier, and you don't have new growth is what we call soft tissue. So insects like soft tissue. Diseases like soft tissue. So the more that you can have this slow release, this constant growing, but the plant can harden off a little bit better, you don't have the diseases, you don't have the insects like you do. So I'm lazy, so I like the slow release because it lasts for about 3 months. It's a better for your plant.
Now, you would sprinkle that in the actual soil.
Yes, and anytime you can work in a fertilizer into the top inch or so of the soil, that's better. But some of them you can't because it's hard ground. So if you can at least feed your plant, you know, it's better than not feeding at all, but we do like the organics here at Chet's. And even though a rose, for an example, doesn't care if it's organic or not, you're not eating the rose, but it's a better feeding and it's a slower release, and it's just a more quality product. And the misnomer has been the organics cost much more than the synthetic fertilizers. They're the same price nowadays. So it's just a much more, it's a quality product.
So can you use the things that they say are for roses for other flowers as well? Is it the nitrogen that is the main thing? Just what sort of, I mean, Brookings is a lot of clay.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of clay.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to break down. So I've had mostly pots, or I've piled the soil in little piles so that I can grow something in it.
Right.
Is there something that you would recommend for the soil here that's particularly good to loosen the soil, to keep it moist or at least malleable?
Well, that would be more gypsum is a nice natural product that you put down. It's not a fertilizer, but it helps break up clay soils and helps it absorb better. So so there are products that you can buy that wouldn't be a chemical that would help soften that soil, and then that means better absorption for the fertilizers and what have you. And the plant doesn't know that it has roses on the label or if it's got vegetables on the label. What the plant cares about is those three numbers. And again, the nitrogen, phosphorus, and potash. And so rose is a flowering plant, so it's usually a little higher in phosphorus, which is for the flower and the fruit. So a rose food would be perfectly proper for a zucchini. So it's about the numbers. It's all about the numbers.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, that's really interesting. That's where I fall foul, because I don't know which plant requires which.
Right.
So I kind of tend to use the one that's all over.
Right. I get you. But nitrogen's the first number
right.
on the fertilizer, and
right.
that's for greening and growth. So you have to be careful with that.
Okay.
And, you know, that's where it's good for lawns and what have you. But the phosphorus and potash are probably more of the two more important numbers in your equation.
And just one more thing on the fertilizer line. Somebody recommended fish fertilizer
mm-hmm.
to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's great if you haven't got much of a nose. I've used that.
Yes.
And that's particularly good for roses or just anything again?
It's good for anything.
Okay.
And so we do say be careful with it using it on houseplants, because a lot of us have cats. And
right.
so you think of the fish thing. But most of the fish emulsions, the fish fertilizers, are deodorized now. So they don't have that fish smell.
Right.
And so that's just having our cake and eat it too, because the fish fertilizer using outside brings in raccoons. It brings in the neighborhood cats. It brings in possums and skunks.
Right.
And so the deodorized has really taken the fish emulsion to another level. But it's wonderful, and it's typically about 5% nitrogen. And so it does make things green and makes it grow, but it's also somewhat of a kind of a slower release. So it works very well.
Good.
It works very well.
Now, I noticed in your, you've got some beds out there, colored, you've been painted.
Oh, yes.
That's very nice. And I was thinking, would it be nice to have some seats out there so people can linger?
Oh, there's already, my wife is already putting benches out there.
Oh, good.
And that area is off limits to me. That's Roxanne. That's my wife. That's
yes.
her area.
Yes, I see.
And I gave her that corner of the property. Well, I didn't give her anything. She has that corner and that she always
right.
wanted to do. Yes. So we've always wanted to have a nursery that could have a display garden. And we're the perfect candidate for that with the schools right here behind us. So we will have, when it's matured a little bit, Roxanne will have the, especially the elementary schools down, teachers are already on board, to come down and tour the gardens. And also for the novice gardener, if they're buying a little plant out there and they don't know what it looks like down the road, well, we'll be able to take them out there, and there's certain plants that we'll have out there that are mature. This is what this little plant that you're buying today is going to look like in 2 years. So that's just here to get people excited about gardening. And my wife has always been into bright colors. I mean, look at this building. And so she found some paint, and she started painting the boxes, and it makes the plants come alive, I think. It just offsets, and it complements at the same time. And she's starting to put benches out there now.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. But I think she's spending way too much time out there. And because this is her little space now. And but she's doing a wonderful job. And
yes.
She's got potatoes growing out there.
Oh, that's
she's got
great.
Garlic, and she's got chives, and she's got onions. And so it's just going to be more of a little place that people can come and eat lunch if they want to. And just sit out there. It's shady and, in the afternoon. So it'll be this little calm little space here in the nursery for people to go to.
Would you consider having little classes with people if they got a group together, you know, like school children? Perhaps they would.
Absolutely.
Is that good?
Absolutely. We did a lot of classes in Grants
Pass.
Did you? We did many. We do classes on about everything you can think of. And matter of fact, we're doing one for the Master Gardeners coming up on container gardening. And we did 21 classes for the Master Gardeners and the garden clubs in Grants Pass last year. And so we can have them come down here, or we will go to them.
That's really great.
Yeah.
Now, there's one question that's a little off-key to what we're talking about. I'm a consultant, kind of, for the Azalea Park Foundation. Mm-hmm. And 2 years ago, we had an infestation of caterpillars. I sent a little caterpillar off to the Master Gardeners, where I was trained in Jackson County.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that it was a leaf roller.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't see any leaf rolled.
Yeah.
I just saw the results of this caterpillar that had chewed more or less everything, all the young leaves. Is there a spray that's particularly good for that? And when should it be applied?
Absolutely. There's a spray for that. There's a couple of different ones that work very well. So at first sign of damage, because a lot of them are contact sprays, so they don't linger on the leaf that long. So because I don't like systemics, especially on vegetables and things like that, because you're ingesting that. But there's a product called BT, and the name of that is Bacillus thuringiensis. And what it is, it's only deadly to caterpillars and their larvae. And it's a bacteria that you're spraying, and it works very well. And we recommend it for also ponds and things, because there's another strain that is deadly to mosquitoes and their larvae. So there's products that you can put in that's friendly to fish and wildlife. But the caterpillars, the BT is the way to go, because you can eat the stuff after you've sprayed it if it's an edible.
Now, what time of year would you generally do that?
You can use that any time of the year, but typically early spring is when you start applications, because that's when the caterpillars are getting active.
Now, what about the use of dormant oil, which we learned a lot about in on the course, horticultural oil?
Yes, horticultural oil is one, and copper is another very popular dormant spray. And the oils are more for an insecticide. And what I like about the oils is that they work not by toxicity, they work by smothering the insects and their eggs. Basically, as a dormant spray, you're trying to get more of the eggs and some of the spider bites and things that overwinter on the barks. So the oils work by smothering, and they're very effective, and you can use them year-round.
That's good to know.
Yeah, year-round. Always want to be careful on very hot days.
Right.
Always be careful with the Chetcos.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the wind.
Absolutely.
Right.
Because you got to watch the drift on some things.
Yes.
Yes. Especially herbicides.
Right. Well, you've done such a wonderful job with the renovations here, and it's a paradise to walk through the gardens. So I just want to thank you very much for giving us the opportunity to talk to you. And I would like to just say that Chet's Garden Center, you're located at 301 Oak Street. Even non-gardeners will enjoy the atmosphere of peace and tranquility that is really just minutes from the busy road. This is Angela Ewing with KCIW, Curry Coast Community Radio. You can find us on your computer or iPod, kciw.org. Please consider contributing to Curry Coast Community Radio to help us establish a traditional radio station. I'd like to thank you, Cliff.
Yes.
And Chet's Garden Center.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to Curry Coast Community Radio, your community-supported radio station. If you like this program and want to hear more like it, consider supporting Curry Coast Community Radio by volunteering your time or contributing to our capital campaign to help us get on the air. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org.